He discovered Cuba, so-called. I mean, he came to exploit a beautiful people like the Jamaicans of the Caribbean, populated by the Arawak Indians, and they were totally annihilated by the Christian, white Christians that came to exploit them. But anyway, Columbus discovered Cuba, found it to exploit it on October 28, 1492, on his first trip to the New World. In colonial times, Cuba followed the usual pattern of the West Indies: the search for mineral wealth, decimation, that means destruction, of the native population, all killed off, of 1 million, Ciboney, C-I-B-O-N-E-Y, Indians, living on Cuba. When Columbus arrived, virtually all were dead by 1600. In other words, in 108 years, 1 million Ciboney Indians had been murdered by the good Christians that came with Christopher Columbus. USA also prides itself that Christopher Columbus found USA, and the same has been done wherever the white Christian has gone. They destroyed the Indians in USA. Anyway, all were dead by 1600. Importation of black slaves, exploitation of land and resources, raids by pirates were the tool of the day. That's Christian Spain that did this act. The same was true of the British in USA. On July 15, 1895, a rebel junta in exile, a military group in exile in New York, proclaimed Cuba a republic. The Spanish-American War followed. U.S. fought the Spanish, and Spain was forced to withdraw from Cuba. Then the USA established a military occupation government. They aggressively took over Cuba, which on May 20, 1902, relinquished power to an elected Cuban government headed by Tomas Estrada Palma. P-A-L-M-A. Thomas is the word in Spanish, spelled T-O-M-A-S, and his middle name E-S-T-R-A-D-A. Thomas Palma. However, Cuba remained a trusteeship, that is, a colony of the USA, for 20 years, experiencing corresponding interference in Cuban affairs all the time by the USA. What is the size of Cuba? 44,218 square miles. Just a little over half the size of Guyana, including the Isle of Youth, that's including it, which is the Isle of Pines formerly. It was a prison. Total, that island was used for prison, political prisoners, where they were tortured under the auspices of the puppet of USA, Fulgencio Batista, who was a dictator and did the will of USA, a fascist. What is the population of Cuba today? 9.5 million. Much, much larger than Guyana, with much less territory. European, mostly Spanish, 73%. Mulatto, mixed with Spanish and black, 15%. Totally black, 12%. Also, there's a sprinkling of Orientals. Mostly, those who still go to church are Roman Catholic. The church is still free. A council of ministers govern. In actuality, in the dictatorship of the proletariat, which is a necessary stage in any revolution, Dr. Fidel Castro is the prime minister, and other leaders of the Communist Party govern the Republic of Cuba. On the local level, neighborhood organizations distribute various goods, provide services, and promote education and involvement on a personal level, popular tribunals. R, committees for the defense of the revolution, composed of neighbors and residents of a small local area, have the power to discipline any local offense. Lawyers are not in style in Cuba. They consider them, like all socialists, to be parasites who breed on differences between people. The committees, neighborhood, popular, as I said, the popular tribunals are committees of the defense of the revolution, carry out any deal with any antisocial conduct. Sugar was and is still, unfortunately, the backbone of Cuba's economy. Though they are diversifying and they have developed cattle to a highly refined degree, in spite of USA's horrible economic boycotts against them, which still exist to this day, and all other subtle ways of destroying them, where the CIA messed with the meteorological factors, weather, seeded their clouds, give them excessive rain to destroy their sugar crop on one occasion, and another they poisoned their pigs. That's just to mention a few, and then many, many assassination attempts on Dr. Castro. But sugar and sugar products such as rum still earn over 80% of the country's foreign exchange. And Cuba is usually the world's biggest producer and exporter of sugar. Son of a well-to-do sugar planter, a rich capitalist, and a servant whom his father later married but was living with in illegal relationship at the time, after the death of his first wife, Fidel Castro was born, as they say, illegitimate, which is not allowed to be referred to now since the referendum and the new constitution. No one can be called illegitimate. That's a beautiful thing here in Guyana. Fidel Castro was born in 1926, educated as a child by the Jesuits and the Christian Brothers. He received his advanced education at the Colegio Belen, B-E-L-E-N, in Havana, that's the capital, H-A-V-A-N-A. At the university, he first began to develop a political outlook. He was associated with a number of political groups and also went to the Dominican Republic, that is now under the throes of U.S. interference, after electing a left president who is being more and more stripped of his power because of the military being threatened and the CIA interfering in the Dominican Republic. Well, Dr. Castro went to the Dominican Republic and Colombia to protest. He traveled about, involving himself in the labor class struggles of various countries. In 1948, he married Mirtha, M-I-R-T-H-A, Diaz, D-I-A-Z. Last name, Balart, B-A-L-A-R-T. She was a daughter of a conservative, rich person, a conservative family. His own leanings towards the left led him to work with the Ortodoxo, O-R-T-D-O-X-O party, which opposed the fascist Batista that had been put in power by the U.S. monopoly capitalist. He was a member of the assembly, but after the Batista coup, the overthrow of 1952, he turned from the traditional political structure to armed struggle, the concept of Marx-Leninism, armed opposition. In 1956, he led a small band of exiled students and professionals from Mexico to the Sierra Maestra, S-I-E-R-R-A, capital M-A-E-S-T-R-A, mountains in Cuba. From then until 1959, he was continuously engaged in guerrilla warfare with the government. He is a man of great personal charm, character, and energy, and he's a charismatic leader, I suppose, by capitalistic labels, who has support of all the Cubans for all practical purposes, even the capitalist almanac, reveals that. They admit that. People may complain to the bureaucracy, of the bureaucracy or the red tape, but Castro himself receives no blame. Although there's mild bureaucracy compared to U.S. capitalism, a big man over 6 foot tall, he has a commanding physical presence and is renowned, widely known for his speech-making ability, sometimes speaking for 8 hours non-stop. In 1964, the USA, in the lead, the Organization of American States, which is a puppet organization in many respects of USA, though it's becoming more and more independent, though only capitalist nations or oligarchical right-wing nations are involved in the OSA, but the OSA voted political and commercial sanctions against Cuba to try to starve them to death economically. No hemispheric countries were to conduct any trade or other relations with Cuba. For many years, the USA had supplied 90% of Cuba's imports. After the blockade, Cuba turned to the Soviet Union and Eastern European communist countries to buy goods. No one thought they could survive. When the nation of Bangladesh was formed in 1971 and 72, and starvation and malnutrition were widespread, the U.S. government refused to send aid until Bangladesh agreed not to trade with Cuba. That's how fierce the hatred and passion against Cuba under Castro. They allowed several tens of thousands to die before any food would be sent to Bangladesh until Bangladesh, B-A-N-G-L-A-D-E-S-H, a province formerly of India that U.S. capitalism helped to break away. Until they agreed to not recognize Cuba, they would not even give them any food when they were starving to death. Moreover, as you know, Dr. Castro went into prison in the court against Batista. He was first arrested in the early 50s. He defended himself. He's a lawyer. No lawyer would represent him. And his parting statement before they took him away to the Isle of Pines to be a political prisoner was, "History will absolve me." And history did. Now we will have the film about Dr. Castro and his interview with the sellout Barbara Walters, much of which his real interview of substance has been deleted. He takes a mild manner in this interview, obviously, because he's trying to get the capitalists to be more inclined to recognize Cuba and to do commerce with Cuba. So he doesn't say all the things he'd like to say. But now the television program will begin in the theater pavilion. Mike Prokes, come to the radio room, please. Several have asked that this go out, Barbara Walters' interview, so you can listen to it. We'll put it in subdued tones. And I know the ones that want to sleep, they'll go to sleep and not pay any attention to it. But you can hear his words and her words, and you can get an idea of the man, because we have these two important medical doctors, guests, coming all the way here just to see Jonestown. Let us begin the television program, please. Radio, television people, would you go please to the pavilion so that you can turn the set on for those that are gathered to observe it. PA crew, please, will you report immediately so they can get on with it? It'll begin now.
title before the agreement. That is our attitude, that is our position on that question, and the U.S. government knows it.
Will you allow Cubans to visit this country?
I don't think that at this moment we have the conditions for that. Actually, conditions do not exist. Not until relations with the U.S. are normalized, we cannot allow that type of visit.
We asked Castro about releasing the 24 American prisoners, 7 of whom are political. The rest are in prison for drugs or hijacking. He said release is something that could be considered as a gesture, and since our interview, he announced he would release 10 imprisoned for drugs. We then asked why all his prisons are closed to observers.
You have not let Red Cross or any international group visit the prison.
Yes, actually, we have not allowed it, since we follow this principle. We are very allergic to all forms of investigation and interference in our country's affairs. We have always opposed anyone inspecting us.
Congress is currently debating an act which would allow Cuba to buy food and medicine from the United States, but not allow the same trade in return. How does he feel about that?
If it is only suspended or lifted from the point of view that we are the ones that can only buy agricultural products from the U.S., for example, we would not be able to sell agricultural products to the U.S. We would not buy anything at all in the U.S. Not even an aspirin for headaches. And we have a lot of headaches.
If United States companies do come here, in what form would you welcome U.S. investments? They could not have they invest in companies, they could not own plants.
How would it work? You have presented me with a totally new problem that we had not thought of.
We have been discussing trade with people like Minnesota businessmen and not thought of whether they could have plants or how they would invest or how they the trade conditions would take place.
Barbara, you want me to cross the bridge before getting to the river.
If you and the United States have relations, trade relations, economic relations, what about the future when we are on different sides politically and often in foreign policy? Would normal relations affect some of your foreign policy decisions?
I would not tell you I'm not going to deceive the North Americans or anyone, that we are going to change our thoughts, that we are going to change our ideology, that we're going to change our political principles. We would not do as the character of the Bible, who, because of a plate of lentils, sold his right to primogeniture. Our ideas, we would never sell for any type of money, nor for any type of material interest. But historical experience shows, and even our own experience shows, that once economic bonds are established between two countries, any responsible government, any truly concerned government for their people, does take into consideration these interests and these bonds, these economic bonds. And one way or another, they do exercise a certain influence in the government's attitudes.
Do you think that the United States will one day be a socialist country?
I do. One day. Someday, the capitalist system will disappear in the U.S. because no social class system has been eternal. Someday, class societies will disappear. It is in that sense that I say it, but you can be calm. I do not foresee any short-term change toward socialism in the U.S.
I was wondering if any people might think that Cuba might have democracy around the same time we had socialism.
Cuba podría llegar a tener una democracia a la vez que nosotros tengamos socialismo.
Una democracia al estilo americano.
No, a democracy U.S. style, no. A capitalist democracy, a bourgeois capitalist democracy, we would not have. That you can be sure of. But if one day the majority of the U.S. people wants socialism, I ask myself the following. Will the CIA agree? Will the Pentagon agree? Will the multinational companies agree? Will the power elite agree?
It wouldn't matter if they all disagree,
no
if it was the people's choice and they voted for it.
Is the dumbest bitch that ever walked. She is
Castro's
the dumbest.
Personality. The people are as interested in the man as his politics. He is 6'2", a massive man, and this adds to his image. Add to a keen sense of humor, an apparent warmth with people he likes, and a gallantry with strangers. He eats sparingly, smokes continuously, carries his cigars, called cohiba, in a small wooden box. He also carries a blue tin of very sweet hard candies, and will leave with him, perhaps for our benefit, a volume of the selected works of Ernest Hemingway. He has read just about everything Hemingway ever wrote. He likes to fish, occasionally plays basketball. He enjoys driving, but rarely drives himself these days, although with us, he took the wheel of his Russian-made Jeep with his rifle across the dashboard. And then he talks, drives, and smokes all at the same time. Except when driving, he wears a .45 automatic and a belt around his hips. He has, of course, planes, helicopters, and limousines at his disposal, all Russian-made.
Silencio.
He's surprisingly soft-spoken.
What else
almost as if he knows it will be a surprise.
Nobody else will give him anything.
He dislikes the cult of personality, blames China's Mao Zedong for making himself a god. His khaki uniforms are neatly pressed. Castro wears his no matter what the weather and says it's a habit. He is 50 years old, a lawyer, and son of a landowner. He was born illegitimate, one of eight children, but his father later married his mother.
Standing to the generator,
one of his
electrician
to the
generator, standing
to
the generator
media. Has recently been increasing her verbal attacks against her brother for deceiving the Cuban people by not admitting he was a communist until he came to power. Castro insists that he's been a communist since his university days and that everyone associated with him knew he was a communist. He was married in his early 20s and has a 27-year-old son now studying in Moscow. His son bears his name, Fidel, but isn't interested in politics, although father and son are close. Castro's not-too-happy marriage ended because while he was in prison, his wife took financial aid from his enemy, Batista. No one seems to know if he's married today. Castro never discusses it and is never seen publicly alone with a woman. He seems to like living behind a mask. We decided to try to penetrate it. I wonder if I may ask you, before we go back to politics again, some personal questions. For you are a man of great mystery to us. First of all, why the mystery?
You're just a dense captain.
Come from nowhere. You seem to disappear. We hear you have no one home. You are a man of secrecy and mystery.
So then we could say that we're facing the theory of mystery. So I ask myself, I'm the first to ask myself, where is the mystery? And who are the ones that invent the mystery? Because, well, there are certain things that we have to do since the beginning of the revolution. That is, if a trip is made, why should we tell the CIA and the terrorists that we're going to make a trip?
Do you have a house where you live?
No. Of course, I even have a bed where I sleep.
Are you married?
¿Estás casado?
Bueno, yo sobre... ¿A qué matrimonio se refiere?
What marriage do you mean? What do you call marriage?
What do I call marriage?
Matrimonio al estilo burgués.
Marriage in the bourgeois type?
No, wait. Many of your people, your brother is married the bourgeois way.
¿Su hermano está casado de manera burguesa?
You were married once in the bourgeois way. You have a
son.
¿Incluso más?
Sí.
Yes, I was married.
¿Usted se divorció?
Many people in this country are married.
Muchas personas que están casados.
You consider them all bourgeois?
¿Usted lo considera como burgueses?
No. Bueno, hay interpretaciones sobre todo eso.
Well, there are many interpretations of all of this. That is, there is a marriage with a different feeling also. That is, it is no longer the girl that became educated to marry a millionaire and all those things. There are differences. I'm going to make a question. What is the importance of my being married or not? And who cares whether I'm married or not? These are totally my problems. They do not belong to the international public opinion. They belong to me. I can tell you the following. I am a man that is totally free and that owns my own life. The rest is detail, untranscendental details that have nothing to do with the revolution nor politics.
But also, you know, we have, you know the expression.
It is as if I would ask you if you have a boyfriend, if you do not have a boyfriend, if you're in love, if you're not in love.
If I were of very great interest, there would be some people who might be interested.
In a personal conversation between us two, we can talk about that. But why do we have to talk about this for the large public?
You don't have to talk about it, but there are people who are very curious about it. And it is interesting that a simple question, like, are you married, not very complicated, causes such an uproar.
Formally, no.
We advance the oft-voiced opinion that his closest companion was Celia Sanchez, first secretary of the Communist Party and one of the women who served with him in the mountains. He wouldn't affirm or deny this. We then asked about his sister.
Recently, your sister was on American television.
Recientemente, su hermana tuvo la televisión americana.
Sí.
You have a sister, Juanita, who lives in the United States.
Mi hermana, Juanita, vive en Estados Unidos.
Sí.
She has been very critical of you.
Sí, ha sido muy crítica a usted.
She has even written to President Carter about you.
Sí. Yes.
He said you are a monster who should be destroyed.
Dice que usted era un monstruo que había que destruir.
Now, imagine.
I have two questions.
Yo tengo otro.
¿No le parece una monstruosidad que una hermana?
Don't you think it is monstrous that a sister says something like that about a brother?
I wonder why.
Sí, me pregunto por qué.
Bueno,
yo le voy a decir una cosa.
I can tell you the problem.
Somos hermanos.
We are children from the, of course, the same father, the same mother. We have the same blood. But we have different ideas. I am a socialist. I am a communist. Although her, in her passion, even gets to the extent of stating that I am not a communist. She has different political ideas. She's an enemy of socialism. She's an enemy of communism. Actually, an error is made, a mistake is made in trying to identify Castro as the symbol of all the evil things of the world. But anyways, that is not a fundamental question. I am a citizen of this country, a country with 9.5 million inhabitants. I would say the following, very much according to my convictions.
9.5 million de hermanos.
I have 9.5 million brothers.
Yo tengo una visión del mundo diferente.
I have a different vision of the world. My family is very large. My family is not only Cuba. My family is Angola, the Angolans, the liberation movements in Africa. My family is made up by all progressive and revolutionary peoples of the world. What would be very painful for me is that they would say that I have a sister in Cuba who has robbed, or stolen, or has privileges, or that has become a millionaire. But a sister that has attacked me because of not allowing these things, because we are revolutionary, that is something that does not eliminate my honor, and it does not even hurt me.
I have one final personal question.
Una pregunta personal final.
Do you ever shave off that beard?
¿Se afeitará usted alguna vez la barba?
¿A cambio de qué?
As an exchange for what? The ceasing of the blockade, or?
If we stop the blockade, you'll shave off the beard. I don't think that would make America do it.
No creo que eso hará que Estados Unidos levante el bloqueo.
Bueno. Importaríamos cuchillo Gillette, tal vez.
We would be importing Gillette razor blades, right?
No sé si
maybe. I don't know if they still manufacture them in the U.S., but...
¿Sabe la razón por la cual nos dejamos la barba?
Do you know why we leave our beard?
Porque no teníamos cuchillo de afeitar.
Because we left our beard because we did not have razor blades.
Pero con el transcurso del tiempo,
at that time, but as time passed,
no conocía un guerrillero por la barba.
The guerrillas were known by their beard.
Por eso se convirtió,
so that is why it became a useful thing.
Y finalmente se convirtió en un símbolo.
And finally it became a symbol.
Que cuando las canas salen,
but what happens when the gray hair comes out? They start to come up precisely in the beard. And you can notice it more. And that is why my idea now is to wait at least until I have it totally white. And then I will take a decision.
Si me las pinto o me las corto.
Whether I tint it or shave it.
And the country can vote.
¿Y el país puede votar?
El país, eso es un asunto.
That is an individual thing.
Se olvida de los derechos.
Don't forget the human rights.
Many people in this country feel that Cuba is Fidel and Fidel Cuba. And there are some people who even think he is a dictator.
¿Qué es un dictador?
What is a dictator?
Yo no me identifico a mí mismo.
Because I cannot identify myself with a dictator.
A man who has almost total control.
Un hombre que tiene casi un control completo.
A man who runs a country.
Un hombre que dirige un país.
A man who allows no dissent.
Un hombre que no permite disidencia alguna.
A man who has the most and almost total power.
Un hombre que tiene casi todo el poder.
Is that Fidel Castro?
¿Es ese Fidel Castro?
Sí, en un solo punto.
Yes, only in one of the points.
Un hombre que dirige.
A man that leads.
Pero no un hombre que tiene todo el poder.
But not a man that has all power.
No, un hombre que toma determinaciones.
Not a man that takes unipersonal decisions. No other thing. Simply, I am a leader.
Pero estoy muy lejos de tener,
but I am very distant from having a unipersonal power or an absolute power.
You allow no dissent.
Let
me be specific. The newspapers, radio, television, motion pictures are under state control. People can dissent in their meetings, in their congresses, but no dissent or opposition is allowed in the public media.
Nosotros no tenemos las mismas concepciones.
We do not have your same conceptions.
Nosotros no tenemos el concepto de libertad.
Our concept of freedom of the press is not yours.
Luego, se lo digo con toda.
And I say this very honestly.
No tengo que ocultar absolutamente.
I have nothing to hide.
Si nos pregunta que aquí puede aparecer un periódico.
If you ask us if a paper could appear here against socialism, I could say honestly, no, it cannot
no
appear.
No lo permitirá ni el partido.
It would not be allowed by
ni el gobierno.
The government.
Ni el pueblo.
Nor the people.
En ese sentido,
okay.
No.
In that sense, we do not have the freedom of the press that you possess in the U.S. And we are very satisfied about that. And there is no scandals like what they place in the U.S., nor do we have commercial propaganda that you have in the U.S. None of that. Our mass media serve the revolution.
Ahora, mientras tú,
now
mientras
then,
se desarrolla la revolución,
as long as the revolution develops,
y mientras exista la hostilidad,
and as long as hostility against Cuba exists, and as long as there is counter-revolution supported by the United States, and as long as this struggle exists, we will not allow any paper that goes against the revolution, simply like that. And besides, who pays for it?
La CIA.
The CIA?
I sometimes feel that you feel everything comes back to the CIA. When do you think, or do you have proof of the last CIA attack against you, the last plan perhaps to assassinate you?
That is,
that I know of, with proof, about the last activity of that type. That was in 1971. And this, now, at this very moment, I have no proof that the CIA has stopped these plans. I have not received any CIA message telling me that the plans have stopped. Nor have we received any excuse from the U.S. government for the fact that that country's authorities, for more than 10 years, have been preparing the plans to assassinate the leaders of the revolution. In spite of the fact that the Senate investigated, in spite of the fact that the Senate verified a small part of those plans, never has there any U.S. authority addressed the government of Cuba to apologize for these events.
Do you feel now, under Jimmy Carter and the new director of the CIA, that there are still orders being given to assassinate
you? I tell you very honestly, according to my opinion about Carter, I am totally certain that no.
Do you still have many political prisoners?
Yes, we do have some.
Would you say you had hundreds?
Maybe a little bit over hundreds. Around a little bit more than 1,000. Maybe 2,000 or 3,000. Because of different counter-revolutionary causes. But there were times that is when the activity of the U.S. was more intensive against Cuba. We reached the point of having more than 15,000 prisoners. So about 20% of the prisoners must still be, or practically, are now in prison maybe.
Traveled in Cuba, Fidel Castro talked of the CIA. One would say that he was obsessed by the CIA until he tells you that he knows of at least 20 assassination attempts against his life. He feels that the CIA has trained so many terrorists, not only Cuban exiles, but also terrorists around the world, that even if the United States has stopped direct attacks against him, the CIA and this group have a life of their own, and that life continues to threaten his. Further, Castro says, and I quote his words, "The CIA, the Pentagon, and Richard Nixon all actively participated in the overthrow of the government of Chilean President Allende. And I am certain that if there were CIA plans to assassinate me, Richard Nixon did not change them." Castro also blames Dwight Eisenhower and Nixon for the CIA-sponsored Bay of Pigs invasion by Cuban exiles in April 1961. John Kennedy, he insists, only inherited the plan. His fault, he says, was in carrying it out. On the ride across the Bay of Pigs in his armed patrol boat, we talked of the assassination of John Kennedy to see if Castro could shed some new light. We told him of two theories in the United States. One, that Cuba was involved in the president's assassination as retribution for the Bay of Pigs. The other, that Castro was exploring better relations with the United States just prior to Kennedy's assassination, and that perhaps Cuban terrorists planned the murder with Lee Harvey Oswald as part of that group. Castro said it was true that Cuba had preliminary contacts with Kennedy administration officials. This is now a matter of public record. But, said Castro, the actual explanation of the assassination has yet to be found.
Do you have any new view of the assassination? Sincerely, I may say that for us, it continues to be a mystery. Do you feel that it was done by Cubans who were afraid of a new relationship with the United States
when
Cuba
was in exile?
Actually, I couldn't affirm that honestly, I tell you, I could not. They would have to go deepen into the personality of Oswald. Who was Oswald? And for whom Oswald used to work? And I'm sure that the CIA should have enough information about that.
Is it your opinion that Lee Harvey Oswald was not a friend of your government?
I am fully convinced that he was not.
He was opposed.
I don't know, but I cannot think. Because what could be the sense of his action?
Castro says he didn't know either Oswald or Jack Ruby, but he recalls that at one point, some weeks before Kennedy's murder, a man calling himself Lee Harvey Oswald had appeared at the Cuban consulate in Mexico, asking for a visa to Cuba. When refused, the man became, in Castro's words, practically hysterical. It is Castro's feeling that this visa was needed so that after the assassination of Kennedy, Oswald could be traced to Cuba, and Castro, therefore, would be blamed for the murder. We asked Castro if he thought that Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy knew of the CIA attempts on his life.
Look, actually, we don't have evidence or proofs of that.
No,
we have not wanted to try to know more about this problem. We didn't want to search. Because Bob is dead. John is dead. And who will be gaining if we start now searching for that and charging against them? Whose reactionary forces will we be helping with that? Now, well, I'm going to give an answer. Fully sincere. I think it is absolutely impossible that the CIA adopts the decision of such an importance and such a transcendence on its own. It seems to me absolutely impossible that it could have been carried out, this kind of plan, for almost 10 years without the express or explicit authorization of the top authorities of the country.
You don't like Richard Nixon.
A usted no le gusta Richard Nixon.
Sinceramente.
Sincerely, I never liked Richard Nixon. From the very first moment, I could see he was a false man. And politically speaking, he was foolish.
Could we have had a normalization of relations under Nixon?
¿Podríamos haber tenido una normalización de relaciones bajo el régimen de Nixon?
Yo creo que era absolutamente imposible.
I think it was absolutely impossible.
Nixon sintió siempre.
Nixon always hated our country.
Enormously.
And he was not only responsible, as I told you, about the mistakes, but he was also closely related to counter-revolutionary enemies and to rich families of Cuban origin who had quite an influence on him. Even when the Watergate affair came about, he made underground operations using counter-revolutionary elements of Cuban origin who had been trained by the CIA. what do you think of Jimmy Carter? ¿Qué piensas sobre Jimmy Carter?
Me ha parecido apreciar en Carter un hombre idealista.
I have appreciated in Carter an idealistic man.
Con principios, determinados principios.
With a certain ethic principles.
Que en mi juicio tiene su fallo.
That in my opinion have their roots.
En las convicciones religiosas.
In his religious convictions.
Es un hombre preparado.
He is a well-prepared man. That's undoubtedly. He's an intelligent man. And also, apart from this fact, we can see he is a man that trusts himself. And to tell the truth, our relations with Ford and Kissinger were so bad that we wanted becoming of the Democrat administration in the United States.
Christmas Eve, 1906, the night of
the Soviet system. Do you think Russia is a free country?
I think it is the freest of all countries.
What do you say about the intellectual?
I have a question for you.
Now, my turn, my question.
Can one conceive of a people that is not free to sacrifice 20 million human lives defending the homeland and fighting fascism? The United States would have to go through a similar test to be able to know up to what extent does that come in the U.S.
We did not lose as many people, but in our terms, we risked as much, and not only that, it was not on our continent, and we fought fascism. But can we go to today? The intellectuals in the Soviet Union, the writers, many of the artists have complained worldwide of the restriction of their intellectual freedom. Many books have been written about it. They have not been written by the United States or by the CIA. They have protested in countries all over the world that their freedom, their intellectual freedom, is limited. How do you explain this?
Your mistake is precisely to confuse the activity of four isolated cats with the formidable reality of the Soviet Union.
Actually, there are more than three or four.
You make them heroes, and Carter receives them.
If Russia is so secure, if its system is so good, why can it not tolerate these four dissidents, these four cats? We tolerate dissidents in our country. We may not like it, but we don't imprison them. We don't put them in camps. They write. They